Welcome to Circle of Hearts Radio. Journey with Grandmother Aliyah as she enters her magical world of relics, sacred sites, and ancient crystal skulls. Meet with exciting trailblazer authors and individuals shifting the consciousness of humanity. Send her your questions to be answered on air on her monthly segment, Ask the Oracle. And now your host, Grandmother Aliyah, in the sanctuary on the airwaves on Om Times Radio.
Welcome to Circle of Hearts Radio on Om Times Media. Today we have a special guest in this times of transformation. So many people are becoming aware of different things, of different potentials, and their abilities and psychic senses are opening up. And many are looking for information to help them and to guide them. And today we're bringing forth John Holland. We've known him as an international psychic medium. We've known him as being featured on the History Channel, A&E, Unsolved Mysteries, and his own radio show on Hay House, and an author of several books. But today, I want to get you to know him as a soul who has evolved. He's grown along with us in his soul journey. And we're going to showcase one of his books, Power of the Soul, Inside Wisdom for an Outside World. In the past few weeks, I've been able to read several of his books and really got to know him on a different level as far as his journey goes. And then today, just looking at this book, I see much of his journey, which was chronicled in his different books, is really incorporated in the Power of the Soul book. This is a wonderful reference. It's a wonderful guide, because I see John as a very authentic soul, a man of compassion. I've always admired true mediums, because to me, they're healers of the heart. It's a very difficult path to be able to help people in such an emotional level. And I see him, his path also as a spiritual teacher and a path of service. And he really brings this out in this book, Power of the Soul. And the secondary, Inside Wisdom for an Outside World, this is something very prevalent that many of us have been saying, for people to look within and not to be followers, you know, to be empowered by the knowledge of your own soul. So having said this, I'd like to bring on our guest, John Holland. John, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you.
Yeah, I was really fascinated by, you know, your journey. And I don't know whether when you wrote the other books, like Born Knowing and Spirit Whisperer, in a way you were teaching. You're leading by example. The indigenous elders would say you walk your talk. You share with people your experiences, and they can relate. This is a wonderful way for people to learn. And it seems like you pulled it all together in this particular book. It's a wonderful God. I'm just, yeah, you know, even looking. Go ahead.
No, I enjoy writing that. There's many aspects of that book also, and it's not, you know, teaching people the real essence of who they are, which is the soul. So they can open up that book, Power of the Soul, Inside Wisdom for an Outside World, and go to any area of that book, and they can learn something.
Yeah, we've actually, you brought it down, even in the contents. It's broken down so that everybody can relate to it. But let's start off with the most singular focus of the word, soul. Now, in the beginning of your book, you have a quote. imagine yourself as a luminous being of energy and light, because in reality
you
are.
You
is this how you
are.
See the soul?
Yes, totally. Yep. It's we're made up of energy, and you know, so I look at it as like we are beings of energy and light. I mean, even quantum, you know, even scientifically, I mean, energy cannot die; it just simply transforms. So, yes, I believe that we're all luminous beings.
Why do you think it's so hard for people to, I mean, to really take that in? It just seems like, are they so patterned by their different religions, they just aren't seeing soul as light, which animates this body? You know, they learn about it.
Yeah, Linda, we're caught in a physical world. Most people just see themselves in a mirror, and that's who they think that they really are, and that's the reflection of them. But that's not true of who they really are on a you know, on a spiritual level. It's we're not our image in the mirror. We're so much more than that.
When did you, like I said, through all your journey, come up to the point where you said, let's deal with people getting to know their inside wisdom? I mean, that was quite a big step. I mean, it's very timely because in the world, this is where a lot of the information people are presenting. Please, you know, look within first.
Well,
and then
yeah,
see your outer world.
Look within has been, you know, it's been around the words, you know, all the information you need is on the inside. Look within. That's been around for, you know, centuries, but we don't do it. We forget that we're a spiritual being. We're in a physical world, and now in society, especially now, technology is pulling us away from our soul. You know, we're always looking outwards, when in fact everything you need is on the inside. But we forget, Linda. We forget because we're spiritual beings and physical beings. We forget that we're spiritual beings, that you have this inside wisdom. And I've written about it. It's been written about for thousands of years, and it's going to be continue to be written about it because we're human and we get caught in the physical. So I'm just another author, another person trying to remind people. If you feel like if you have you people reach out, Linda, all the time, they want a better job, I want a relationship, I want more money. Well, a lot of people get these things and they're still like, why am I empty? Why, what's missing? I have the car, I have the job, I have the relationship. Why do I still feel so empty? Well, because they focused on the physical things, you know, money, the cars, you know, outside relationships, when in fact they forgot about their soul. What have they done for their soul? And that's why I think a lot of celebrities or rock stars, they go a little crazy sometimes. They have all this wealth, but something's still missing. They're still missing. And it's almost like, you know, Ricky Martin, you know, the, what does he do? I mean, he has everything he needs. He goes off to Tibet and takes care of his soul, you know, brings the family there with the yoga, you know, he'll go there with the Buddhist monks. That's where he finds his peace. He has everything on the outside, so I believe he's doing it right. He's focusing on the soul, too. You have to take care of both parts.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Like you said, it's that balance. And sometimes, as you
it's
mentioned,
hard.
People have to, like you said, people that have everything, they go and that's feeling in the stomach. Something's missing. I'm still empty. Or people that have nothing. They're on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Right.
They go, the world, you know, there's nothing there for me, but they still have that sense there's still something out there. So what you're presenting is a balance of, I think the esoteric, a familiar phrase is be still and know, you know what's within and let it bring out, help it, you know, help you create your reality.
Right.
And what I like is, like I said in this book, a lot of your journey it really does show up. I like your words, wake up calls.
Yes.
You said, you know, there's so much. It could be a book, it could be a traumatic event, it could be a teacher, it could be what people call the near death experiences, which. In other words, it's really an event which has changed your life in some way.
Well, your soul tried
what
to
was
get
yours?
Your attention. The soul tries to get your attention before you have the wake-up calls. It's already tried giving you a dream. It's already tried giving you an intuitive hit. When you're in your mind, you're saying, I shouldn't be doing this. I don't know why. I don't feel right about it. We don't listen to it. And then synchronistic events start happening. The right people at the right place. You think it's just a coincidence. So you still try to get your attention through your dreams, intuition, synchronistic events. You don't pay attention to that. Then you get wake-up calls. And wake-up call could be a passing. It could be a relationship ending. It could be you getting fired from your job. Mine was an automobile accident. And when I was living in California, that was my wake-up call. I wasn't living – I was going a little crazy in L.A. I was a young man, and I wasn't living really a great life. And the accident made me – put me right back on the path. And I didn't complain, Linda, about my car is gone. What am I going to do? And I thanked God for not giving me an accident, but I thank God – or my soul, that I had that accident, because as soon as it happened, it was my wake-up call to get my life together. And if it wasn't for that accident, I would not be on this phone with you. I would not be the person or the professional medium that I am now, all because of an accident. Yep, it puts you in it. And if people don't listen to wake-up calls, then that's not a good thing, because you only get a few of them. Your soul tries to knock you back on path, but we have free will here. We have free will. You could be giving the sight, your soul or your spirit could be leading you towards your goal, but it's our free will. Do we go towards it or we run from it? So,
I think a lot of people are running from it, that's for sure.
Yep. Well, I had a woman, a student once.
Oh, gee, that was quick. We'll continue this.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Well, I apologize for that break sneaking up on us. I got so involved in the conversation, I lost my track of time. But in reference to, what we were talking about, wake-up calls, and you were saying signs from the universe, and that's what's great about this book. On Chapter 2, Acknowledging Source, and you talk about synchronicities. And those are the signs from Source saying, look at this, or maybe go this way, or don't get on that plane. Is that what you're trying to presenting the book for people to be aware of these?
Right. Your soul constantly tries to get your attention. If you're saying to yourself, I can't live like this, what's wrong with me, why do I keep doing this? That's your clue. That's a clue where your soul's saying, what about me? When have you just basically stop what you're doing and go in and ask, what's going on? What's going on? If you find yourself saying the same question over and over, why do I keep doing this? What's going on? I can't live this way. That's a clue. When's the last time you checked in with your soul?
But, I know sometimes, you know, people cross our paths or information, or we're shown different directions. Why don't you try this or try that? And I always call them personally myself soul contracts, you know, that by prior to incarnation, you know, we kind of designed this overall thing, but we have free choice. You know, we can take the path that we don't have to.
Right.
And that kind of brings us up to another one of your chapters in the book about reincarnation. And a lot of people I know ask when they're becoming aware now and all these, and they're trying to understand what, you know, what's happening with themselves on many levels. They're coming up with maybe different talents, different abilities, and they're going, well, gee, you know, it's not in my family, but that seemed to be an old myth, you know, that is handed down, and that was the only way that you could have, be a psychic or a medium, there had to be some kind of DNA. And we're finding a lot of people are saying, hey, I can see things, I don't know why, but would this be a possibility on your thoughts of it's part of their past lives? Or how do you see reincarnation fitting into this soul awakening?
Well, there's two different aspects. I believe that I think the consciousness of man somehow is shifting. A lot of people are becoming more intuitive, you know, or they're becoming more I think what's happening, Linda, is we're becoming spiritually awake, and people don't understand why. I think maybe the consciousness of the earth is changing, or the consciousness of man, where we're questioning, you know, our own immortality even more. We're asking the bigger questions. If someone has, you know, all of a sudden they're quite intuitive, doesn't mean to become a medium. Not necessarily. It means use it in your own life to help you, to help the people around you. If the mediumship potential is there, then it will develop, you know, and spirit will help you. But reincarnation, I know I've done this before. You know, Dr. Brian Weiss regressed me once, and I was a preacher. It seems like I was either a monk or a preacher or in some type of religious aspect. I mean, I didn't go back to hundreds of lives. I didn't do that much research. I did have the regression with him, but it seems like I was born this way. I was fascinated by, even as a child, Irish, Italian, Catholic, living in Boston, Massachusetts. But yet I was fascinated by watching where we used to go as kids. They used to have the Hare Krishnas, you know, in red robes and the bald heads and
right,
chanting in on the Boston Common. And I'd be fine chanting with them, and my mom would be over with my other four brothers and sisters, like, get over here. So I believe that I've done that before, and I was also born with an unbelievable talent for art. Never took a class as a child. Is it past life or is it in the genes? See, I think maybe it's a past life that I've done it before. And people say, well, it's in the genes. But okay, you know, that's possible too. I don't know how that works on a scientific DNA level with chromosomes, but I really believe that it's a past life. And, you know, and we keep learning, we keep coming back, getting the lessons. And I believe I'm just finished editing my book, my next book that's coming out. I think we choose the conditions that we want to. And some people, Linda, may say, well, why would these people here choose, I mean, like kids that have famine in Africa or around the world, why would they choose to be born in that life? You know what you're going to get into before you get here. I really believe that, and I believe that the people that suffer the most are the ones who go into a huge spiritual progression, a huge spiritual progression. So that's what I believe, and of course, when we come here, we don't remember that we chose these conditions, you know, and I'm not one for Linda and anyone who's listening. You know, they say that everything happens for a reason. I love that saying, and I hate that saying, because I don't understand why some things happen. Why a child was taken from their parents, or why a spouse was suddenly taken also. I don't understand. Sometimes I believe sometimes stuff happens, you know, but there are some things like that accident I was in. I believe that was meant to happen. I think that was my last ditch effort on a soul level, a spiritual level, to get on my path. And I chose to listen to it. And what I was going to say just before the break, synchronistic events, once again, I had a student. She was working for cable television. She was in my psychic development class, and she was a cable. She worked for cable television, and she eventually, this was in Los Angeles, she wanted to work for the bigger networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, a bigger studio. Well, she got an internship. Okay, so all her training that she did in cable came in handy when she got the offer to be an assistant on set at a television program or television studio. Well, the day that she was supposed to start, she got so scared, thinking she wasn't worthy, that she couldn't do it, even though she didn't even start day one. Because I asked her, I said, how's that job going at the studio? She goes, I never took it. See, she had the opportunity, the event it came to her, she chose not to go there because of fear. She chose not to go there. So I don't know what happened to her now because, you know, I moved. But, you know, all the people were put right in front of her. And, you know, so, you know, with Power of the Soul, there is a lot of stuff in there. I just want, and when I did the reincarnation part of it, it was just to show you the continuity of the soul. You were a soul long before you came here, and you're going to be a soul long after you leave here until it's time to, you know, choose to come back.
I'm just kind of curious after listening to this, I wasn't thinking this before, as a medium, as being able to see, when people come to you, do you see more than when you're talking about continuity of soul? Does anything get, how to phrase this? If you see a person who has passed, can you see further beyond the present? Do you like that one? I'm very confusing here. Like past lives of that person that has passed. You know, I'm trying to get on the idea of continuity of soul. I know you say that they present themselves in a form recognizable to the family member.
Right.
But do you ever see deeper than that?
Not really. I mean, if a student sits in front of me, I'll start talking about guides and past lives, which I usually don't do. I don't believe another psychic or a person should tell you who you were in a past life. I really don't. I don't. I think they should try to understand themselves by going for a past life regression. But I wouldn't do it just because you're curious. I mean, past life therapy helps people with anxiety, people who are claustrophobic, or they're having a bad relationship maybe with someone, maybe two sisters aren't getting along, maybe in a past life they were mother and daughter, and then when they go back to a past life, they can see where the anxiety came from or where the claustrophobia came from or the relationship that was difficult in that past life that gets carried over here. But I seem to, when a student sits with me for a reading, I don't do past life readings. I'm strictly connecting to their loved ones. But then something happens when a student sits with me. It seems like the reading takes another course, and I start talking about past lives or their path, which means to me that I'm being guided, that they need some additional counseling or instruction. But, I used to do psychic work. I used to see if someone was going to take a job, where it was going to go. But I don't believe it's the future set in stone. The person has free will. So, yeah, it depends. Every person who sits in front of me, it's different, but my job is to connect people on the other side. If a student's sitting with me, then it gets deeper.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a lot of this work is very healing, even when it seems like you're presented or guided to go into the past life by allowing the person maybe to see something in a relationship or something that they didn't recognize. Like a lot of people have family issues with their parents, et cetera, et cetera. If they get the right information, maybe they can discover a way to heal the situation or a rift.
Right.
So
exactly.
Then they can move on.
Yeah, if someone was claustrophobic, or, you know, because maybe they got caught in a plane or something in a past life, you know, something dramatic, or they can see, oh, my God, that's where that came from. Then, yes, some people may have a fear of heights because something have happened before. This is all, you know, everything I learned from, you know, Dr. Brian Weiss, you know, Many Lives, Many Masters, his book. And plus, I know him personally, which I'm blessed.
It's One of the questions I was going to ask you, if you look back, like you, we keep on saying, you have choice. You have wake-up calls. If you look back on your life as part of your legacy right now, would you have chosen the same path to do the same things? To
probably, yes. I was raised in that, yes. I probably would. If I could see my whole life in front of me from point A to point B, I probably would leave it. You know, there are different choices that maybe I would like to, but everything in my past, every pain, every sorrow, every joy has led you to where you are now. And for the people who are listening who something dramatic or terrible happened in your life, did it elevate you? Did you learn from it? Was someone in a relationship that they say, if I say to people, they said, God, I was in an awful relationship. I said, okay. I said, what did you learn from it? And they may say, I didn't learn anything from that one. Yes, they did. They know what they don't want in their next relationship, obviously, or hopefully that they get that. But I think some of the most painful moments in our lives, can be the biggest spiritual catalyst for us.
So it seems like you have, I know we're going to head into another break. That's why I'm just going to sum this up. It seems from your beginning of your journey of learning, refining your art, you went to a school in
right.
the UK,
yeah.
which
yeah,
you actually is. Were supported and refined, you know, your talents. I will come back.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com. And change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart. While you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song, you'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
twinsies.
I kind of love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The one thing I had wanted to bring up in this segment, when I had described you as being very authentic and very real, man, compassion, is when you recognized your talents, integrity seems to be a big inner issue with you, because even having these talents, you were guided to go to England.
Right.
To refine your talents with some very very well-known psychics, not psychics, spiritualists. And that's important, refining your talents. You know, you don't come across as, well, I was born with it, and I'm just going to spew out anything. You realize that this path, soul path, you're dealing with other people's emotions. So would you suggest, if people start to awaken to things, to really take it seriously, and if you're guided to continue to, you know, to find a mentor who's really going to maybe help you develop it on a deeper level.
Right. I was always intuitive. This isn't born knowing. I was born psychic, and that was not a doubt. But I pushed it away. The accident happened. The automobile accident happened, and all the abilities that I had came to the forefront. I don't know if it was Kundalini awakening.
And John, I hate to say it, we're losing you. Losing your I hear your voice, but I don't hear your words.
Can you hear me?
All right, well, let's try this again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you're muffled. That's why I was wondering if, you know, we're losing your signal. What? Like I said, your own journey.
Right. Can you hear me?
You took a lot. Oh, great, great. Yes, hear you perfectly. Now, can we continue that? On your own journey, you refined your talents. And
right.
You were supported by some very amazing spiritualist in England.
Right.
So
you
take it very seriously.
Right. When the accident that I talked about awoke the abilities that I had as a child, being psychic was not a problem as a kid. I hid the abilities and the accident awoke those abilities. And so when it happened, I didn't want to just accept it. I wanted to know, why is this happening to me? How is this happening to me? And how do I shut it off? That's why I wanted to be in control of it instead of it being in control of me. And then after 2 years of doing readings for people on a psychic level, and I didn't just start doing readings. I kept my day job. I would just do it at a store, a metaphysical store in Los Angeles. 2 years into doing the readings, those on the other side started showing up. And I said, okay, great. What's happening now? And then I started doing the research on mediumship. And all the books that I read were from mediums in England, in the spiritualists in England. Even though spiritualism started here in Hydesville, New York, I read all these books that I just happened to, that I found in bookstores or old bookstores were from England. And I said, you know, if I'm going to do medium, if this is going to happen, I want to be good at it because people's lives are in my hands. They're skeptics. I already got I already was harassed as a child being psychic and, you know, made to feel different. So when the mediumship started happening, I read all these books, and I said, I'd love to go to England and study with these people. Once again, synchronistic events. 2 weeks into reading these books, I stepped on a person's foot. They were from England. I got to go over there and live with this person. I got to know them. I got to stay at their place, and I studied for over 2 years there. I sat in a development circle for 2 years. I went to the Arthur Findlay College. I took two courses there. And they really, really train you. Because, Linda, I said, if I'm going to do this work, I don't want it to be airy-fairy and fluff. I want to be good at it. So the person, when they leave my demonstration or leave my reading, my mediumship reading, that they feel like they really were in touch with their loved one. That's why I wanted to be really accurate to the point where I beat myself up, but I just trust and I just keep studying, to this day, I keep trying to enhance my ability to be a better bridge to the other side. So once again, when I went to England, synchronistic events, all the right people were being drawn to me. I did search. I did go out there, but it was amazing. One person knew another who knew another who another. Why? Because I was following what I was supposed to be doing. And that's how you know. That's how you know. Not every falling leaf in front of you is going to be a synchronistic event. But if you're a little lost right now, you say to yourself, show me where I'm supposed to go. Show me synchronistic signs. And if you're an administrative assistant and you want to be a nurse, you keep thinking, I really wanted to be a nurse. I want to be a nurse or work with people, want to be a nurse. You're at a supermarket. You meet a nurse. You meet someone at a store and they say, you seem like a nurse. These are little signs that where you're supposed to be. But what I do recommend is surround yourself or find people who are also in the medical field, because you may talk to a friend and they may say, you a nurse? Yeah, I don't think so. They don't know. Surround yourself with people who are already doing what you want to do.
And I think that's part of what you're bringing up in this book, inside wisdom for an outside world. You're saying acknowledge yourself, acknowledge what the information that comes up for you, and stop giving your power away to other people by their opinions of you.
Yeah, so, that's why I wrote that, Linda. I wrote Power of the Soul. It's a lot because, you know what, too, Power of the Soul? In it, I describe what the soul is, all these wonderful things from synchronistic events to intuition to psychic ability to reincarnation. But most people, they don't want to do the work, Linda. They'd rather go to someone and have someone else tell them what they're supposed to do. They will not – a lot of people – will not work on their spiritual side. They rather have someone else try to do it for them.
That's true. Do you see it changing, though? I know a lot of the radio shows that we're doing now and a lot of the information on OM is presenting this of basically, here's the information, but you have to do the work. You have to make the choice. You know,
Absolutely.
Your life is your choices. Do you see that change coming with people? I mean, I'm seeing it slowly, but I think with many good people speaking out like you are today, it's constantly reinforcing people saying, you know, it's really okay. You know, you have to do the work. It is a learning school on Earth. But we're here to support you.
Right. It took you many years to put – your soul is part of you. Your spirit, your soul, it's part of you. Okay? You can't get away from it. But it took us many, many years to pull away from our soul. I mean, it's still part of you, but we forget that it's there. It's going to take a little bit to get back in sync with it. And basically it gets down to meditation, to go quiet, to listen to that still inner voice. You know, but it took, you know, we haven't listened to it for a long time. So it takes a while to get used to listening to it, you know, again. And, you know, I tell people, too, we're in a technology world right now. And a lot of people, Linda, they sleep with their phones, you know, their iPhones or their, you know, whatever phone it is right beside their bed now. They'll look at it before they go to bed. As soon as they wake up, a lot of people, they won't even get out of bed. They haven't even gotten out of bed yet. They'll reach for the phone, look at Instagram or Facebook or text, you know, from their bed. And they haven't even – what I recommend that people do is before you reach for that phone, first of all, I wouldn't put it in there, but sometimes it's people's alarms. I understand that. It's a phone. No one uses landlines anymore. I understand that. But before you reach for that phone, just stop when you wake up and put your hands on your chest and say, I'm a soul. Let your soul get integrated back into the body because it was just home in the spirit world, because people forget that when you sleep, your spirit goes home, it revitalizes itself and comes back. I mean, you're still connected. So just take a moment before you reach for that phone, put your hands on your chest and say, I am a soul. And set the intention, the first thought for the day, I want it to be invigorating. I want it to be inspirational. What's that thought before you reach for that phone? Because when you start reaching for the social media, it's usually not always good news, okay, especially lately.
No.
So before you reach for that outer technology, reach for your inner technology. Get it? Before you reach for your outer technology, like your phone, reach for your inner technology, your spirit.
That's really important point to bring out because, like you say, it is so true in this world of technology that – as soon as you open your eyes, you either put, like you said, reach for your phone, reach for your radio. It's that constant stimulus.
Right.
And it's not anything from within you. It's just this outer energy constantly, you know, bombarding you. So you're pretty much saying, you know, every day you have the power to change your life. We take that moment upon awakening and center and remember what you are.
Yep.
So, like I said, we're almost on the other commercial in a minute. It's amazing how fast this is going.
I know, right?
And I know I get so involved, I have to constantly look at my watch. Okay. But what I'd like to, you know, end this segment with is this book. I know you. be a path of the soul. I'm watching all your progression and being. Do you enjoy being considered a teacher? A spiritual teacher.
I love it.
I
love teaching.
Awakening.
Yes, I love it. I mean, I love doing what I'm doing as far as helping people that have lost someone, but I really love teaching also. And I'll probably, you know, do it for the rest of my life, but it also goes back to when I was a kid. I read all these metaphysical books, and my parents couldn't figure out why was he so different. Why wasn't I out playing baseball with my brothers? Why is he home watching Bewitched, I Dream a Genie? Why is magic part of him? And, you know, and reading all these esoteric books as a kid, any book thing that had to do with religion or esoteric studies or the occult, I was reading as a child. Now they realize, well, my mom's passed away, but I realize I was educating myself, or should I say I was re-educating myself, because I feel like I've done this before in another life. All that stuff as a kid now comes into my teaching. So I think, you know, you can see what you were doing. I always tell people, if you're a little lost, I don't know what I want to do with my life. I don't know what I want to do for a living. What did you do as a child? What did you love doing? What are you doing when time flies? What are you passionate about? Those are all clues. Okay, if you loved art and then you end up working at a hardware store, because I understand that, what about your art? You see? And you always go back to it. You'll always say, too, you know what, I always should have taken, I should take an art class. Once again, there's those questions. If you keep saying to yourself, you know what, I should take a class, or I really want to meet that person at work. But, you know, these questions keep coming up. That's your soul's way of saying, act on it. It's not your imagination. Imagination will come in and go away. Your intuition will keep knocking at the door, knocking at the door, knocking at the door, until it gets louder and louder.
That's for sure. Until you get it. We'll come back in a few minutes.
Your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
McIntyre, and I wanted to talk to you about a serious problem right here in our own backyard. Did you know that there are nearly 16 million kids struggling with hunger in America? That's why the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks collects surplus food, engaging their communities in solving hunger and giving hope to hungry kids and their families. But they need your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I was just thinking what we were, discussing before. You were saying to follow. What was your passion? Follow the different things that were important to you, your inner self, you know, from childhood on. Basically, I usually call it follow your heart, which is always an inner guidance. But on a soul journey, what's important also is as you receive to give back, to be grateful for all that's within, but also to reach out and to give back to others. And I wanted to point out the work that you do with your fundraisers for the animals, ASPCA. Is this one of your ways of giving back for all that you've been blessed with? I mean, I'm talking spiritually. You're giving yourself, you know.
Right. I believe that the universe gives and receives, you know, a lot of people have no problem being givers, no problem. But that sometimes people have a problem receiving, whether it's a compliment, a thank you, or, whatever. And so I believe that, you know, to pump the prime of abundance, you have to give and receive, give and receive. I've been very blessed. I got to travel. Study with a lot of teachers. I've been to Australia, the UK, Scotland, you know, and I'm just a guy from the city, from the ghetto. And, you know, it's my way of giving back because, I've been blessed and it's like paying it forward. It really does work. I don't give to receive. I give because I can. And if I get something back from it, then that's great. But I don't give to receive. And then some people say, well, can one person make a difference? Absolutely. You could be driving your car. This is what I do sometimes. If I'm driving a car, I'll go through a toll. And granted, I have a pass where you can just go through it. But every once in a while, I'll go into the section where you have to give the change. And I'll put in the extra money and say, pay for the person behind me. How do you know, Linda, that that person behind you was having an awful day where they thought people are out to get you, that people are terrible, or it's all about them? And then you drive up to this toll, and the woman says, or the man says, this has been paid for by the person who just was in front of you, and says, enjoy your day. Maybe it'll change their day. Maybe they'll go home saying, okay, people do care. And how, you'll never know the ripple effect, the positive ripple effect that it could have, because, you know, it reaches farther than you can ever imagine. And when my animal charity event, I got a little dog, and I would drive by the NHSPCA every day and say, I wonder if there's anything I could do. Well, who would have thought by me getting a puppy, you know, 10 years ago, would help bring over $100,000 to the SPCA now, and I dedicated the fund to help animals that are brought in to the SPCA to save their lives. They just helped a dog that had three legs, and it hurt its one leg in the back. It tore its ACL. It needed $4,000 or $5,000 for an operation and rehab and water therapy. Well, the CODA fund, the fund that I started, paid for it, and that animal got to go home with the family. And maybe that three-legged dog is going to change some of those people's lives. You see, you never know. So it is all about giving back. If you have it, give it. Because isn't that what it's all about? When I believe that's what it's all about. People like, what's my purpose? Your purpose is to use your talents, gifts, and abilities to help others while you're here. It's not to be a medium, an author, or a plumber, or a president. It's my gift, my ability of mediumship is my talent in helping others. Because we're all connected, Linda. We forget that we're all connected, no matter race, creed, color, financial. We forget that we're all connected here.
I totally agree with everything that you're saying, because what I, like I said, I like the way you present, you know, your mediumship is your talent. But
right.
What you present to the world is actually a service to humanity. I know that sounds kind of, you know, way out there, but no, you can touch, whether it's an individual, whether a dog, whether save the forest. Everybody has a way of reaching out and touching that people forget. And it's good to be constantly reminded, because everyone looks for this illustrious, oh, even things I do, people ask, what's my soul path? To be the light on earth where you are, to reach out to somebody else and to help somebody else. So it's really great when you are reinforcing this idea. It's just not me putting it out there or other people putting it out there. We're all doing it collectively and saying we're all one heart, you know, one humanity, one, you know, spirit and form. And that's why, you know, it's really, I wanted to bring out this next progression of, you know, your work of being a teacher, that, you know, you fulfilled so much with your talents. Now you're moving forward and actually I mean, you always have. Everything I've seen in your books, you've been a teacher. You've been what, like I said, you walked your talk. You share it by experience, and people can relate to that. So it's a way of teaching.
Right.
And this book is absolutely great. It's a great reference, a great guide, very warm, very easy to understand. You know, you really touch the core there. And you see, you have another book out. What's going on with that? What's the name of that? I mean, can you share that? Or?
Well, it won't be out till next year, but it's called Bridging Two Worlds, Learning to Connect to Your Loved Ones on the Other Side. So it's helped for the bereaved, show that they can have their own connections to their loved one, but it's also for the student that wants to discover their own spiritual unfoldment of their abilities of mediumship and psychic abilities. So it's two parts, one for the bereaved, and two, for people who want to, because I wrote it because of what's in society right now. A lot of people want to be a psychic or a medium. Okay, really? Is that what you really want to do? Okay, this is what you need. So this is the training that goes involved. Okay?
I was going to say, they really don't realize this is not an easy task. This is not.
No.
It's a very unique life to be able to sit here and see other dimensions, you know, multidimensionality, or even when you said, you know, your earlier days, or the psychic abilities, it almost sounded like a remote viewing that you had. You were able to walk into a different timeline and experience it, you know, and bring it. Does that sound right to you? It's interesting, because I know I've experienced that myself, and this is what's being bombarded with people. They're seeing things, and they have no guidance. So that's why I think it's great that, you know, that you write down, they have something visual. You know, if you're not teaching in person, they have a visual textbook here.
Yes.
You know, that they can refer to.
Yep. And I wrote that some years ago. If you notice now, a lot of the stuff that's out there now is soul. Well, I wrote that.
Yeah.
I wrote that some years ago. So, so it's finally, you know, I think it's coming on. You're going to see probably a lot more of it. And I think, you know, you're going to have many authors write about the same thing in their own views, their own experience. But basically, it's just it's yet another reminder. Do you know what I mean? But once again, life will try to pull you away.
It's interesting. Like I said, I was just thinking when you were saying you wrote this a few years ago. I was thinking, it almost refers to the idea of born knowing. This is part of your soul path. This was part of one of the intersections. Okay, we've done such and such and such. Now it's time to present this, even though maybe you had to wait to a year or so to, you know, finally reach up to the mass. The masses had to reach you. That's all I can say. You know, you're fully aligned now. So, you know, like I said, this is really great. And like I said, I constantly see you coming from the heart. And that, you
Thank
know.
Thank you.
And that's important. As, you know, people really, you know, they'll go, maybe I want to be a psychic. They don't realize how hard that is. You can have the visual, but emotionally, you have to be very careful how you deal with people. You have to have integrity. You have to have compassion.
Yes.
So, you know, this is not a quick, well, let me lay down the cards. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Or, you know, do I see somebody out of the blue? Do I say something to somebody or not?
Yep.
So all your works so far and what you're saying, your future book, is really going to help people, you know, to connect to spirit of who they are first and then how to develop themselves. Do you see anything else in the future for you?
Taking the day at a time, Linda. I try to stay present. I got to get through this book first. I mean, it's been 11 months on top of touring and seeing people. So I just try to, I wait for inspiration. And that's what I do. I wait and see where I'm supposed to go next. And sometimes it can be hard, you know, but I think, you know, more teaching is involved, is coming up.
Well, I'm glad you're, you know, you're pursuing that because you have a very passionate way of presenting the information. Very warm.
Yes.
And, you know, that I'm really glad you came on today.
Thank you.
And, you know, people could hear you speak. And I think that's an important component of being able to hear a person's voice and the passion that they put forth. So, you know, if my listeners, if some of them didn't know you, I'm sure they'll know you now.
Thank you.
But they'll see you as a very warm and evolved soul.
Thank you.
So this is, and I'm glad you also mentioned the part of paying it forward, because like I said, people don't realize that. And that's another important part. All right, John Holland, I really, really thank you for coming on today and sharing your soul with us.
Thank you so much.
So I wish you luck, and, you know, I'll be in talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Linda. You too.
Okay, bye.